This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey. Call the cops.
This level of foolishness and joy.
Losers, in other words.
Hey.
Now watch this drive.
Read it!
Hey.
Damn it.
Hey.
Shisha.
Sicario.
Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it.
Hey. People
hey.
Are gonna die.
I want baby.
Here she got a great ass, and you got your head all the way up it.
See, people neglect that second part. They just do the "she's got a great ass" and not the really Cajun delivery.
Yeah,
on that second part.
And you got your head all the way up it.
That's like Lauren Daigle energy down by the bayou.
All the way up. That now more than ever is not a time to tune into this podcast expecting a Christian show. I was just listening to that theme song. I was like, that would be at least to get them early.
If this is your first episode, it's like, I like Barlow Girl.
Yeah.
Sure.
Maybe they'll do a little devotional at the top.
Well, we used to until people said, please stop. It's literally triggering me. I had to talk about it in therapy.
Dark place. Oh, no.
We had a caller, remember?
That's right.
A week or two ago,
gosh.
Say, listen to this. This is what it sounds like in therapy. Or when I had to pray.
The only circumstances in which I want to be brought up in therapy for our listeners is I realized how much everyone has a great ass, you know, or something like that. Positives is what I'm saying.
The only time I want to be brought up in therapy is when someone says, like, yeah, I've been going through a lot of stuff and it's been hard and this break has been hard, but there's been one guy, one friend of mine.
Genuinely, I wanted to be like, you know, I was just like, I was so thrown and confused. And then my friend Caroline said just like such a simple thing to me that I like can't get out of my head, you know?
I have a few of those.
Yeah.
You've been that friend for me a few times where it's like, they said something that can't get out of my head. Now, whether it was good or not.
Damn, no.
Or like when you listen to people and they use a phrase and it's like, oh, I'm going to use it. Mm-hmm. Went to coffee with a friend a few weeks ago and they used the phrase I never heard before, gender-based harm. Which is
gender-based harm.
Yeah, gender-based harm, which isn't even like, what a revelatory nugget, but it was definitely something that like,
yeah,
I
term.
Fully internalized into vocab, because it's such a succinct way to describe so many things.
Yeah, true.
Rather than say like, you know, to be reductive about it or use imprecise language.
Mm-hmm.
Imprecise language like, welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're to have Good Christian Fun. It's the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture. Christian great asses and the music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you, and we're not here to make you go to church. We're definitely not going to make you go to Hillsong. We're not going to make you go do it.
Don't do it. Hope guys, it. If you've been listening to Hillsong, you're being bad.
Don't do it. If you've been listening to Hillsong, like that's sneaking a little something, mm-hmm. like contraband from your progressive
going
friends.
Going into Houston's legal fund every
like oceans,
time you stream.
Okay? Are you upset that none of the Hillsong documentary episodes, the one that we covered last week, that none of the episodes' titles were Houston's We Have a Problem?
Yeah, I'm upset now that you say that.
Like, that was actually probably the most upsetting thing about the documentary. Is like, guys. It was right in front of you.
I know you have a lot of work
just
to
like
do.
Just like weird church.
The low-hanging fruit was right. It was square between your eyes.
You didn't pick it.
You didn't pick it at all.
Come on.
You left us all wanting more.
Please, please give us more. We're going to have good Christian fun, and it is Singles Ministry, and we're talking about a song called Clothes by Barlow Girl.
Yeah.
Clothes. Clothing time.
Clothes.
Clothing time. Remember that song?
Yeah.
But listen, it's the two of us on the episode tonight.
Solo bolo.
I'm a little wired up today.
Okay.
I was wired up already, and I feel like the episode we just recorded.
Yeah, that got you energized.
If people listen to Second Service, they can hear that episode this previous Friday, a 30 Minutes to Heaven. I'm like jacked a little bit.
This is a 180, because when I first came in here, you said, I'm so tired.
I know.
I had a bad night of sleep.
I did.
Because our little producer had notes throughout the night.
Was producing some noises all night long.
So I'm glad to hear that you feel energized. So guys, if you want to know where Kevin's little pep in his step is coming from, go ahead and go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun.
That's right.
Because you're going to hear a beautiful theme song.
Yeah.
It's actually really powerful.
I think because you're asking me so many questions about my childhood and memory and nostalgia and things like that. And I think too, we were talking about this a couple months ago when we went up to the cabin for my birthday. Had a little group of friends go up there, and it was a lot of silly time and a lot of playing music and instruments together in a way that was for frivolity and recreation. It wasn't like, all right, guys, band practice, let's go. It was silly in the way that you would play a board game or that you would cook something together as a group of people. And I do wish, I've been banging this drum for however long, but I do still wish to incorporate more of that just like musicality.
Jam time.
And just as recreation and just for you guys. And maybe it sounds a little whatever.
Yeah.
I went over to my buddy Rishi's place the other night, and he has this gorgeous studio. And there was a drum kit, and our friend Demi was just starting to play drums a little bit. And then Rishi, who's an actual musician, I mean, Demi's an actual musician too, but I'm saying compared to me, started playing this beautiful guitar line. I was like, don't mind if I do. And I got on the keys.
Tickly ivories.
And it was so nice.
It felt like heaven.
It felt like a nice way to connect.
Yeah.
Especially for us boys who don't like talking about our feelings that much.
Yeah, but things were expressed through the keys.
Oh, 100p. Mm-hmm. Have you heard the sort of, this might have been a church thing too, the heteronormative binary of like how men relate to each other versus women, where women
look at each other and men
face each other
side to side.
And men sit side to side.
I read about that a long time ago. I think it was like in a body language book or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think
they don't look each other in the eye when they talk about like stuff they're going through.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I look everyone in the eye, as you know.
Too much.
I try to burrow in there and make people feel like, I'm actually good.
Yeah. You kind of want to like look anywhere else.
I don't need this right now. Oh, yeah. Okay. But it's GCF, and I want to catch up and see how your heart is and how it's doing this week. I'm giving you a little insight into my and even other stuff going on today. I was like, I feel really energized in a way that's unfortunately novel and unique.
Well, yay, right?
To my week to week. And ride it I did, because I did Peloton no less than twice today.
Whoa, geez Louise.
Because it was fun.
Oh my gosh.
Here's my strategy
now. You are on one.
I know.
Now I'm worried.
Yeah.
It went from me being excited to be like, is he good? Two Pelotons? And a song?
It was fun. Well, I had a meeting in between. It got interrupted. It would have been one long one.
I see. Okay. But it wasn't like, I got more energy. Let me do another sesh.
No, I kind of like edged myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then I had a meeting.
Gross.
And I did hop. Mm-hmm. I'd hop on Zoom, and then the meeting was over, and I hopped back on. So there's like a part one and part two.
Okay, yeah.
Like Spider-Verse or something.
Exactly, like Spider-Verse. Did you see Spider-Verse?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Loved it.
Wow.
So fun. Well, I mean, but you know my thing with it, right? I think I told you about this.
No.
Maybe not. There was went with a friend, and next to us in the theater was not someone who was on their phone or not someone who was talking too much. But someone who did have a huge, large icy, which is fine and allowed, but it was an eighth full, and they were for about 90 minutes of the movie and scraping the straw. They would like put it down, pick it back up, put it down and pick it back up intermittently.
Slurping that thing dry.
And truly for an hour and a half. I almost died, timed it. But I was just... scraping the straw against
that squeaky
lid.
Straw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really rough. I've been the squeaky straw person in a movie.
Yeah,
And I hate myself.
Gets
the silent hate from Kevin.
It was tough.
You have kind of like a special misophonia just for being in a movie.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
So,
but you can't get your, you know, ecstatic experience of the crowd cheering and whatever without also the chaos of people just being human and slob fests in the movie theater as well. You know, you get both.
Yes.
If you want to be among the people, unfortunately, it will be with people.
It's a cost. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean, but yeah. Tell me if you think this is unethical. You know, on AMC A-List, you can book an entourage. You can book your own seats and then seats next to you for right. your friends and all your colleagues that happen to be in your entourage. My strategy for next time might be to book seats for people that may or may not show up just as a buffer for so no one sits next to me that I don't know.
Let me go one step further. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a page from an incredible organization, and I think you should have a special green room that you get to hang out in before you go.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think you should have cordoned off seats.
Sure.
Just for, like, the real movie watchers.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for you and how famous you are on Letterboxd and Twitter, you don't want to be accosted, you know, coming in and out, so we'll probably need security.
Excuse me, are you Kevin? I'm like, yes.
Yes,
it
yes.
It is me. Of course it's me. Let's
yeah.
do a picture.
Okay, you want a live review? Okay. Here's a review of the movie I just saw.
5 stars!
Yeah, 5 stars! This reminded me of taking a long walk down the suburban road of Kingwood. But yeah.
That's a good take.
Anyway, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. I might do that then.
Buffer zone. Oh my gosh.
Just a little buffer. It's okay.
You're still going to hear it. Even if you could book the whole row behind you and there's going to be 2 rows behind you. Squeaks McGee.
Well, this is why I'm doing it for our upcoming group movie date
really
with
40
of our best friends of like, if they're being annoying, I can tell them. And they probably won't be annoying.
I don't think you would though.
It depends on who it was.
Would you? I thought you were going to say you were going to book like every other seat for like several rows.
Well, then no
kind
one
of a checkerboard. Yeah, like that no one would want to sit in
so
there.
That is so funny and I should do
and
that.
And then you don't have to spend more money.
Yeah.
You're right.
Just being an asshole.
The beauty of A-List. But how's your heart?
Heart's good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, I feel energized. I got some good sleep. Speaking of sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never stay on the spot for how my heart's doing. Oh, you know what? Actually, my heart is also elated because I also got to do a great creative endeavor this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Once a year, the Pasadena Chalk Festival rolls around. Me and my great friend Chelsea, we work on it together. You just get a section of sidewalk for this festival and you can do pretty much whatever you want. And you have a Saturday and Sunday, and people do whatever they want.
I saw some stuff where it's like, that is literally exactly what they wanted to do, I guess.
they did that, is what you can always say. And yeah, it's a free thing to do. Anyone can participate. Kids participate.
Mm-hmm.
Older folks participate. It's great. There's some people that have been doing it for like 15, 20 years. So it's mm-hmm. like a little gang. They're all friends. They know each other every time they come back.
Oh, yeah.
It's just very, very fun. It's tiring. You're working all day on just one thing. But it's really, really fun. And it's just like so satisfying to step back, especially when you're working really close on something that's zoomed in. And then you step back and you see how it looks on the whole. So I feel good.
And it was so lovely to be a spectator.
Yes,
Kevin
stopped by. Yeah,
I stopped by for uh-huh. a hot second.
Yeah,
and then I did take a little tour of the rest of the murals.
Yeah,
there were.
What'd you think?
7 Spider-Men.
Spider-Man was huge this year.
And also, infamous gay icon Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. There was a rainbow mural of Stitch saying, be you.
Yeah.
Which is like hard to refute and I would not disagree with. I just didn't know that was his platform and position.
Kevin's hater.
I think.
Well, Stitch doesn't really have maybe political. He stays out of the political world. But, you know, Stitch's story is everyone wanted him to be a dog. And he's like, I'm actually an alien.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. That
kind of perfect.
He was like, it's not like he was misgendered, but it was almost like he was misspeciesized, you
totally,
know?
Totally.
I'm not a dog. I'm a whatever the hell.
Be Stitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man was big. It is interesting, like, what is going to be the celebrity of the year? Like,
Cheers
sometimes
the Pope. Yeah.
There was also a Little Mermaid, which I'm sure you threw up in on, and they had to clean up.
No,
it
I told
was, like,
Dexter
a whole
to
thing.
Do his thing, and he certainly did.
He's like, hey, is this problematic, bro? I'm like, nope.
No problem. C-less. Yeah, sometimes when, like, a prominent celebrity passes, they end up being the subject of several murals and stuff. So,
oh, sure.
Anyway, it's really interesting. It's very cute, very sweet, very wholesome a lot of the time.
It's a nice, just, like, it makes what is a major city we live in feel like a small town.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you've been doing it 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to come out and, like Regina Hall once did, support the girls, you know?
Yeah.
To go out there because it's so good. It's so,
so
good what you guys do.
Oh, thank you.
Every single year. And this year, it was award winning.
It did win an award.
Yeah.
Best technique.
You're an award winning muralist.
Yeah, that was cool. It was unexpected. We were trying to win something this year, so that was good to get that goal. We were trying to pander a little bit this year.
Pander to what? It was a giant cheeseburger.
The people.
That you made.
The infamous people of the movie theater, you know?
Oh, the straw
the
scrapers?
The general people of the town.
The seat sniffers?
You hate, yeah, the seat sniffers.
People so, at the end of the day.
Yeah, we did a cheeseburger, so I feel like most people are going to be into that.
And what did anyone say to you when they came up? To see
every it? Single person said, "This makes me hungry."
Well, I could eat that. The shine on that cheese, give me a break.
This looks so good. It makes me hungry.
My mouth's watering right now.
There would be points where like someone would stand there and say something else, and then I would under my breath be like, say it. And then they would say it, and it was very satisfying. Very cute, very human.
I loved it.
Everybody loved it.
I'll come out as long as these legs can walk and
as long as these little four legs can walk.
Gosh. I know.
Fun.
This is second year in a row coming out, or maybe third.
It is cool. There is like a big turnout, like a lot of people, and I don't think they're all just related to the artists come to see the art, which is really cool. And it's like, it's a lot. It's hundreds of murals all in one place. So, and it's free and you just walk up on the sidewalk.
Hell yeah.
It is. It's just very cool. And yeah, it feels very like pure-hearted in a lot of
and
ways.
And it's legitimately, from an outsider perspective, and you can speak to it better, back-breaking labor that
kinda,
you're doing for 9 hours straight.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and some people are doing, because you get full 2 days, and Chelsea and I have always finished it in a day, in like 9 hours, 10 hours or so. But some people go the full 2 days because their piece is that complex.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're working by themselves. That's the other thing. Like we
yeah,
are,
imagine
we're a
it's
team
just
of
you,
two,
yeah.
Which helps a lot. Yeah, and like depending on like how good you want it to be, yeah, I can't believe it. Yeah, some people really like break themselves for it. And you're on your hands and knees like doing it. Like you can get pads and stuff,
very
but
vulnerable.
There's not a lot you can do to make it easier.
Well, people can check that out on your Instagram or on your TikTok.
Oh yeah, I posted TikTok.
The TikTok that
I've been cross-posting content.
Why
that,
are you
I
saying
mean,
that shamefully? You're
I
fine.
I just feel like it's wrong, you know? And like, oh,
to
we
who?
Saw it in the post, we saw it in the story, and we saw it in the TikTok. Yeah.
There's no police.
Yeah,
abolish
I shouldn't be trying to please all
police.
The 17-year-olds the way I have been. And then I cross-posted on my work Slack, you know?
Did you
like,
actually?
We already saw this on TikTok. Yeah, there's a channel on my work Slack that's just about people sharing like things they made.
Uh-huh. So you're talking about cross-posting content right now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to show you a screenshot of a tweet I have. I don't want you to describe what the tweet is. I just want you to audibly react whether you think I should tweet it or not. So okay. I'm just going to show you the tweet.
Okay.
Now, do you think I should tweet that or no?
Yeah.
I should tweet it?
That's a yes for
okay.
me.
Okay.
I'm surprised you're tweeting that for free. Because I know you have, I mean, I hope you're cross-posting
right,
the uncensored
okay.
version.
That's right. The uncensored version so for
somewhere else.
A specific other platform, perhaps.
What's going on in your OnlyFans lately? Let's do a little Kevin's ad corner.
Oh, you know, like it's a lot of getting back to my roots.
Which is?
intermittent posting.
Uh huh.
Because you don't want to, you know how like the streaming model of releasing a season all at once kind of messed with people's expectations.
Right.
You do want to do some regular rhythm of release, if you know what I'm saying. But not all at once. So
right.
I'm sort of stringing along my right. following and my audience for a little bit. So
you have to have a refractory period of posting, if you will.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely true.
And what are you posting?
Oh yeah. You know, what was the last thing? It was just a shirtless pic last time. So nothing too saucy.
Shirtless pic. And do you set up any sort of lighting? Do you put your phone on the windowsill?
No, it's all natural, baby.
Wow.
Have I put my phone on the window before? Yeah, I think maybe I have once or twice.
Do you ever bring Dexter into this show?
Absolutely not.
You don't exploit him.
That's illegal. No. Aww. No, he can't consent to be a part of any of that stuff, so he's not a part of any of
okay,
it.
Okay, right.
I do.
But he also doesn't get a cut because of that.
Well, he gets a cut by living here.
You're shafting him out of financial gain.
He gets all the whole kit and caboodle, my friend. What are we talking about? I had a pretty terrific encounter with church laughter, in a way.
Oh yeah,
recently
you went to church this weekend.
Yes. And by the way, church laughter I think is not exclusive as a sensation to church. And I'd be curious what the last time you experienced it was, where it was like your sides were hurting because you were laughing so much.
I have to think on that.
Because the one before this was, honestly, the press interview that Peretti and the rest of her cast gave at Tribeca. It was one of those where I had to be dead quiet, but I was like, oh, my sides are hurting right now. I haven't felt this in a long time.
It's good.
And this one does tie into a little GCF stuff. In a major way, actually. And if this is too distasteful, Emma, you can cut this one out. But if not, then we can keep it in. Which is, went to church where our friend William Matthews was actually leading worship as well.
Fantastic.
And doing a very intimate set where it's just vocals and guitar. So that was the whole setup. And he was talking about how he likes a lot of the older songs and how he's been digging a lot of them recently. And he sang a very beautiful rendition of "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful" by Keith Green. Do you remember the song?
Yeah.
Oh Lord, You're Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Your face is all I need. And after the song was over, and it was truly quite lovely, he started talking about like Keith Green. You know, he passed away too early.
Nate told me this. This is fucked up.
And William, like, you know, being knowledgeable and being such an appreciator and fan of that music and of that time period and knowing a lot about it and speaking so well to it on our show so many times, he said, like, did you know he was anti-capitalist? Like, Keith Green, he was, like, he gave his money away and he redistributed his wealth and blah, blah, blah. And I did lean over to your husband, Nate, and said, well, I wish he would have been anti-helicopter.
Now, Nate said, you said, I wish he was helicopter proof.
No. No.
That was his take on it.
I wonder if he misremembered or if that's what he heard when he heard at the time.
Anti-helicopter. Yeah.
Yeah. And this episode is dedicated to the loving,
the Green family.
Respectful memory of Keith Green. Hey, maybe you can be your next mural next year at the Pasadena Chalk Festival.
I should, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Keith Green. Keith Green.
Keith Peen Ween. Would be his, yeah. Keith Ween. We can do this all night. He's got a great ween.
Great ween.
But yes, your husband was undone.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Did he have to leave?
What's that?
I think he had to get up and go.
He had to pretend he was crying at one point and like go like this and kind of put his face in his hands.
Yeah.
For perhaps
it made him real happy.
Listen, it made me feel amazing.
Yeah.
That I was like, man, after all these years with this friend, I still got it. Still?
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
You've always got it with Nathan Ealy.
Well, and it's a funny sensation that sometimes, obviously, when you meet new people and you want to make a good impression, oh, how generous of a laugher is this person? But still, at the end of the day, It's still the oldest people you know, or the people you've known for the longest time. They're still like the sweetest ones to make laugh.
Yeah, and the only ones you can do like really, really dark stuff and know, like, they know.
As an icebreaker of like, don't worry, I'm not a sociopath.
I'm a nice guy.
Hey, at the end of the day, I'm a pretty nice guy, right?
Eat this.
And yeah, you dieted me. Yeah, look at my dog. I'm pretty nice. What if that's what my like profile
said? I did everything right.
I did everything right. And then you dieted me. Gracious. But no, I've been on an upswing this summer. It's been a good summer. We're midway through the year, through 2023.
Has it delivered on sloppy summer? Have you busted out the 3 inchers yet?
Excuse me,
your shorts?
Oh, I see.
3-inch inseam.
Those are 5-inch inseams. Excuse me. I've never gone shorter than 5, but maybe...
Live a little, Kev.
Maybe the summer requires it. I don't know. I don't want to have a wardrobe malfunction. And then Matt Lauer has to ask me questions about
wear underwear. Damn.
Why?
Keep that loose.
This is when you find out. I'm like, under what?
What?
Under... What are you talking about?
You mean that medieval torture?
Oh, like the Mormon thing that they do with the second skin or whatever? Nah, gosh. I'm not sure.
I've been watching that. I know we're not talking about it on the show, but I've been watching Shining Happy People, that documentary about the Duggars.
And it's just harrowing? Or?
It is kind of harrowing, but they one small detail that I didn't know about was that they wore like bloomers underneath their dresses.
So weird.
Just so weird. Anyway. Think about that.
That's like the one not depressing detail yeah, that you could glean.
It's kind of the way you think. I mean, it depends on how you approach it. But
sure.
Bloomers.
Bloomers. Late bloomers.
Late bloomers.
Well, man, I'm trying to think of anything like really touching or pressing upon my heart that I can talk about on mic.
Do you have any other visions for what you want to see happen in the next few months?
You know what? I'll take a page out of my... kind of fish idol dory and say, I just want to keep swimming.
Mm.
Just keep swimming and moving. I feel like booking up the days, booking up the nights.
Keeping booked.
Having some trip to look forward to, you know, every couple weeks or couple months.
Are you going to the best coast? Well, the best coast would be here. The west coast
the
would
west
be
west coast.
There.
The skeest coast. maybe. Yeah.
The Beast Coast.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of the Beast Coast.
Where are you going back?
East Coast Kevin.
East Coast Kevin.
It's possible at the end of July.
Wow. Maybe. Okay.
Yes, already.
Nice.
We'll see. But I found like the airline I use is pretty, it's easy to change the flight. So.
Oh, okay.
Nothing's 100%.
Keeping it loose.
I'm always keeping it loose.
It's always there.
And hanging loose. Like the clothes I'm wearing tonight, which kind of leads us to... the single we have to talk about. So on that note, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
That's right, a trumpet and an electric guitar.
Ooh.
Singles Ministry, when we take one single song and talk about it for the entirety of the second half of the episode. Now, Caroline, you and I did a call-in show with our listeners a couple weeks ago, in which we fielded nominations for new music,
excellent
new singles. They were all pretty terrific. And if they weren't, it's only because it was an episode that one of them hadn't listened to before that we already talked about the song that they recommended. Uh-huh. And one of the submissions that we got from a listener, I feel bad about this. I didn't have time to look up the listener's name before this episode. But
I hope they make themselves known in the Instagram comments and or Twitter comments.
Yeah.
Replies.
Live out loud and live your truth, whoever you may be.
Be loud.
Be loud.
Let's get loud.
Honestly, LGL, did you see the post on Father's Day, by the way?
Yeah.
Dear Lord. On Maine? Save it for your close friend circle, J-Lo.
Also, the father of her children wasn't in that post.
He was like, that's the father. This is daddy.
This is daddy. Yeah.
Which I understand. You know how I feel about all that. But the nomination we got for this episode is Close, a song called Close by Barlow Girl, an artist we've talked about on the show before. And just like a refresher recap, a girl group, a girl band composed of sisters coming out of Illinois.
Girl phenomenon.
A phenomenon that did kind of name themselves after the super chick song, Barlow Girl, All the Boys in the Band Want a Valentine from a Barlow Girl. They have been, inactive for over 10 years, over a decade at this point.
Now they're just sisters.
Yeah. They transitioned from Barlow Girls to just Barlow Sisters.
Just being sisters.
Yeah. Just regular old sisters. But they have a song called Close from their album, their self-titled album from 2005, Barlow Girl. Before we listen to this song, Caroline, I want to talk to you about Close for a second.
Okay.
Especially as it relates to the season that we're in, the summer, because, East Coast Kevin is one thing, the sort of identity that I assume and personify when I perhaps get onto the other side of the
concrete
country.
Jungle.
Where dreams tomatoes. There's nothing you can do. But also Summer Kevin's coming out.
Yeah.
The 3 inches and whatnot that you were alluding to before.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to honestly, you don't have to do it now. Maybe just like stew on it while we listen to this song. But this is a song about, modesty culture and how people present themselves, and especially the pressures on young women in Christian context. How would you define my style?
Your style?
My clothing style generally, and also like the ways I've just been ever so gently pushing the boundaries and edges of it, and where you think I should go from here.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Wow.
So, because I trust your...
Yeah.
Perspective and opinion on this.
Wow, thank you.
Because I think you have really good taste. Because I think you have really good style.
Well, I try.
Yeah.
I will think on that. Well, actually, I think I have my thoughts.
You do?
Now, do you want to do it after the song or do you want to do it before the song?
Let's do it after the song.
Okay.
We'll take a quick listen.
Close our what? Seem to fit you and me. And
All right, that's pretty much it.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
What do you think about this song, Kevin?
Clothes that fit are fine. So it's so funny when we listen to CCM or any of these artists or music where it's breaking out of like vertical songwriting to God. Mm-hmm. And it is just like, it's not even horizontal about like what it's like to be in a relationship with God or to be loved by your creator. But it's just like Christian values informing the impetus of your take on a social issue.
Yeah.
Which like to them, this is a social issue in the way that
right.
protest songs are about social issues in the 60s.
Exactly.
Like what's blowing in the wind, your spaghetti strap, I guess, is the case. And I think it's so to the benefit of people who are like, It honestly reminds me of, you know, like, honestly, I hope this isn't a crass analogy. It reminds me of Black Trump voters, where it's like those get propped up, or like Diamond and Silk, the influencers that are like, we love Trump and he's great and we don't think he's racist, he's good. And for CCM to have artists like this, where it's like, hey, look at these fun girls, and they're like a girl band, which even the aesthetics of girls in a band, and they're not like a vocal band, like, you know, like a Jump 5 or something. They're playing their instruments. They're like, they're the Christian Haim in that way. There's something that's almost inherently more empowering or liberating about just the visual and the aesthetic of that.
Yeah.
So then when they espouse things like, hey, wear more clothes. Like there's literally a song about you should be wearing more. Yeah. Why are you wearing so little?
More fabric.
It's sort of a win-win for all people involved. I wonder if they would have any sort of like Matt Thiessen in the 21st century come to Jesus moments of like, we actually regret clothes. You know, the way he did with mood rings. But that's what I was struck by the most is like, and who knows? I mean, they were so young when they wrote this and put this out. But it did kind of bum me out, and I would just be curious how like the adult versions of themselves would reflect on it, because
right.
I don't want to do any research of like which ones voted Republican out of Barlow. Like I don't care.
Well, the weird thing about this song too is like I was kind of looking out for that, or for it to be some kind of mouthpiece about like, you know, the way that a young Christian girl has to almost like see herself as such a sexualized person just in general that mm-hmm. like most of her effort is to desexualize herself mm-hmm. in order to be good, accepted, safe, lovable, you know, X, Y, Z, all those things. Like, and also I wanted to be like, oh, and they're just being annoying about this or whatever. And, you know, kind of pushing force this idea at the expense of their fellow women who don't dress this way, you know, and do dress sexually and whatever. But I actually was like seeing other things in this song that like I remember feeling as like a teenager that kind of didn't really have anything to do with like purity culture or trying to be like the perfect girl.
Yeah.
Like the other thing I was thinking about was like, this was the era when, like low-rise jeans were really in and like showing midriff. And the only one that was allowed to wear that and like look good were like size zero women. You know, like you couldn't really wear that outfit if you actually had like a belly that stuck out or like big hips or things like that. Like, so it was not only like a trend, but it was also a trend that like excluded most people, you know, especially with like body image stuff and everything going on. So them talking about like, I don't want to wear this almost because like it makes me uncomfortable, or it's just not the way I want to show my body, or my body won't be celebrated in this the way that yours will.
Right.
Like maybe they're not saying that explicitly in this song, but like I'm almost kind of like, for my 15-year-old self, like it would have been nice to hear this too of like, I don't care, you know, this is a trend. And just because it's a trend doesn't mean I have to wear it in order to be like valued or seen as beautiful mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, I think there is the insidious like undercurrent of like, we must be pure women and like slutty, if you dress slutty, like you deserve what you get kind of thing. But I think there's also like kind of another thing that I think is good and everyone should feel safe to like dress the way they want and to not be excluded from the world of beauty or desirability just because like they're not wearing like the trends of the moment in fashion or whatever.
That's actually a salient point that yeah. it's like there's an angle to which it is giving permission to to almost have an apathy about it's not even like cover yourself and like, you know, the sort of maybe sometimes traumatic things that can happen from church contexts or places of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Like that happened to you a couple years ago where yeah. someone said like, can you cover yourself up?
Yeah.
More stuff?
Which
was a woman to woman conversation. It was a woman who said that to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I got both.
And men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, I don't know if I knew about that one.
Yeah. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, just name names real quick. but yeah, like obviously the thrust of this shouldn't be like teen girls should feel a pressure to sexualize themselves.
Exactly.
More.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not saying this is right and this is wrong. It's just saying clothes that fit are fine.
Yeah, I think so. And like maybe they did think it's wrong or whatever, but at least they didn't put it in the lyrics of this song necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the sense that they were like completely looking down on girls that did dress this way. But more of just like the ridiculousness of like, oh, is this the only shirts being offered? Like if I didn't want to show that just because I have autonomy over my body, like you're not even going to sell me a shirt like that. Like that I think is worth poking fun at. And because at first too, I was like, oh, they're doing that thing where they like say it's actually countercultural to be Christian
mm-hmm.
because you're actually just doing something very weird, not because it's like you have a rebellious spirit or something, you know, or you're brave enough to like buck the trend.
Oh, you're just a weird guy.
You're just being weird to people and you're making them uncomfy. I guess that makes you countercultural. But I think this, like, I guess what I'm saying is like, there's a generous way you could read this where like, these girls, for whatever reason, they don't want to show a lot of skin and they should feel like proud of that or just fine with it, you know, and that mm-hmm. they get the same level of acceptance as anybody else.
Yeah, and lyrically, there's nothing in the song that puts it in the really stark and kind of craven terms of a lot of this messaging in the church where yeah. it's like, you're making your brother stumble.
Right.
Like especially the burden of responsibility of another man lusting and then that tied to rape culture, there's not really even that much of a hint of it
yeah.
in this song.
It's not like, I mean, she even says, like, I looked hot, but I caught a cold. Like, the downside is more of, like, a practical issue. You know? She wasn't prepared for the weather.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, I looked hot, but, like, no one listened to me. Or, like, I looked hot, but...
But at what cost?
Yeah, what cost? Yeah, exactly. Or, like, I got attention, but it wasn't the one you wanted. Or something like that. You know, it was more... Yeah, it's like a softer version of, like, being modest or whatever.
Clothes aren't what they used to be. They don't seem to fit you and me anymore. Modesty is out the door.
That's hilarious, by the way.
It was what?
The good old days of fashion. Like, they've always been so covered.
We used to be a
know?
Country.
Like, no.
Poodle skirts aren't fashionable. Flying what we've got and more is in. They're saying, don't ask why. They're saying, don't ask why. Just wear what we say.
Yeah, I'm like, who says
you'll
that?
You'll look like a model if you'll only obey. So this is conjuring a world of like... of fashionism.
Whoa.
In a way.
Cool.
By the Barlow Girl vision of it.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like, it's, I think I forget, like, that's kind of true in some ways of how trends have worked for a long time. And it's not until maybe a little bit more recently that having a personal, like, distinct style that is almost like anti-trend is a little bit more the norm now, mm-hmm. I think, for like, women or people who are like into fashion. Whereas back then, like most things, it was kind of a monoculture. Here were the gatekeepers telling you this is what to wear now. And yeah. if you didn't, I guess they were telling you to stop. I don't know. It's like, whatever.
You were executed in the public square.
Yeah, you were. You're actually like hung if you didn't wear low-rise jeans back in the day. And people forget about that.
Do you feel like you've evolved in that way in terms of your own fashion? Do you feel a little anti-trend in the positive way?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been such an annoying, like, anti-trend person when it comes to clothing. Like, even to my own detriment, like, things I would think are cute. I'm like,
wait, how do you mean?
Because everyone's wearing it.
Wait, do you have a recent example of that or anything that comes to mind?
What would come to mind? You know, there was, like, a moment where, what was it called? Some girl on TikTok called it Avant Basic. But it was kind of this style, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, of wearing a lot of like checkerboard stuff and like kind of cutesy prints and things like that. And I liked it. But then I saw it get made fun of and I was like, I can never wear this out in public.
Wait, get made fun of by a lot of people or just like?
Yeah, like a lot of people.
Okay.
Piled on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like I think I am trying to, and always have been, like, at least trying to wear what makes me feel cool and, like, what I think is actually really special or, like, kind of interesting
I think
or whatever.
That about what you wear.
Thank you.
Honestly.
Yeah. It makes scary any more fun.
Whereas I dress in a way where it's like, please don't make fun of me. I'm very scared. Black jeans every day for the rest of my life sounds good.
But I feel like the wardrobe you've picked recently, even though it is kind of a uniform, like, you are, like, specific in what you're wearing.
How do you mean?
Like, you only wear a certain kind of cut on the shirt and a certain kind of fit on the jeans. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, what was your reference for that?
For the cut of the jeans? For both of those things? The shirt stuff, like, fluctuates. I feel like the jeans, it was, man, once we got out of that very dark, skinny jean era.
Yeah.
And just like bouncing from that where it's like you want straight leg, you don't want clinging to the calves.
Right.
And just trying to I feel like I've always tried to dress in a way where it would fit in any era. Where it's like that if you didn't know who I was and you saw a black and white photo of me,
yeah,
it could be 1970, whatever. It could be 2012.
You're the anti Carl Lentz in that way, who's always dressing for the era almost
different,
more than anybody else.
Like in an interview, he's different in every cutaway shot that you over like an hour long interview.
Moved on. Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of like one of the fun things about like men's style, the way you, if depending on how you approach it, is like it is kind of timeless. Like the stuff, your options are actually can be kind of limited depending on what you like.
Sure.
If you like streetwear or things like that, you can really go ham and really break out of the box. But like a button-down shirt, your black jeans, these shoes, you know, even a suit, you know, has not really changed like that much. It's like fit changes, but like the actual elements don't change that much.
Yeah. And I envy the sort of, I mean, I know I can do whatever I want, but I shouldn't put it in gender terms. I should say I envy the kind of person that does feel more the liberty to have expression of personality in that way.
Yeah.
At the same time, I do admire the sort of samurai approach of even friends of mine where it's like, and I know I have a little capsule wardrobe energy, but some friends of mine, it's like they literally wear the same jeans and same shirt, or like they have six of the same pair of whatever that is. And it's just that forever. And they eliminate decision fatigue in the morning. There's something I do think is admirable about it in some way, even though it's not my flavor.
Yeah.
And even what I'm wearing today feels a little out of my usual bounds.
How so?
I'm wearing, instead of like a small size rugby polo shirt, I'm wearing a button-down corduroy shirt that's about one size too big.
Oh, it's corduroy. Yeah. Oh, nice. Corduroy. Yeah. Okay.
And even that felt like, woo, we're really pushing the limits here.
Because I'd say, like, especially recently, and you didn't dress like this when I first met you, but, like, you're almost, like, a minimalist.
Almost, yeah.
Like, you wear various, like, maybe 3 or 4 colors. Yeah, and it's just variations on, like, button-down, a great fit on the jeans, like, your boots or your Converse or whatever, and then, like, a denim jacket if you need to wear a jacket.
Yeah, sometimes.
Are there things you feel like, I wish I could wear this, but I'm too, like, shy or embarrassed, or I feel like I'll get made fun of?
I have some of them in my closet right now.
What is it?
Well, there's like striped things.
Striped things.
That can be a little tough.
Okay.
For me.
Why?
But maybe I need to listen to Barlow Girl.
Like, where would you want?
Who cares? To not bow down to the fascism of TikTok. And
do you have like celebrities in mind that you're like trying to maybe dress like them?
This is so annoyingly consistent, but there was a lot of from certain time periods Springsteen stuff where I was like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that's it.
I was gonna say
that
like,
looks kind of good.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
still
kind of like the like Americana workwear era of Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you could wear that really easily, especially around LA.
Sure.
And that's the other thing is the city context really does dictate quite a bit of what you wear, I have to say.
How do you mean for you?
I feel like sometimes when I'm in other cities, like, oh, like for example, if I went to a wedding in the Midwest with my family, like mm-hmm. getting dressed up there, like you can really glam it up. You know, you can do the full earring and necklace and makeup and hair and dress and big heels, you know, and it's not like too much.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I go out to a, like even a nice restaurant here in LA, like on a date with Nate, if I were dressed in a heels, sometimes I feel like way overdressed.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it also does kind of limit sometimes. Like, okay, so I need to be like kind of casual. So like dressy casual is kind of the furthest I can go here. You know? So what are my options in that level?
I know.
But I feel like the Springsteen workwear look, no problem around here.
Yeah. And it's good for all time zones.
Good for all seasons.
Yeah. And it feels like honestly, the rugby polo thing too was a revelation for me. Where it's
rugby
like
polo, yeah.
It's not too much either way.
Uh-huh.
It feels like
yeah.
It harkens back to Ivy, but it's still dressed down. But it doesn't look too dressed up. I'm yeah. very happy with that.
Yeah, I think that the only thing I would
invite you to think about. Yeah.
And I think you're doing it a little bit, actually. I just didn't even realize it with this shirt. Is like the same things you wear, but like some interesting textures, you know?
Interesting textures.
Different kind of fabrications of these things.
So silk.
Linen.
Velvet. Linen.
Velvet.
Like velvet tracksuits.
Might as well. yeah, or, you know, knitwear.
Okay.
Things like that.
Knitwear? Like, what are you thinking of when you think of that?
I guess I'm thinking of, like, you can get some, like, I feel like right now is kind of in is, like, a polo that buttons all the way down the front, but is, like, a knitted textured version and maybe has, like, piping on the collar or something like that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I get Instagram ads for that.
Yeah, it's of the moment, but I think it's a cool look.
Right, but it's of the moment. But maybe I need to be okay about
that. But it's also kind of timeless. Like, I think you could wear that for
mm-hmm.
10 years and be cool.
Yeah. One of the other struggles I have sometimes is like, do I tuck the shirt in?
Mm.
That's like a daily question sometimes for me.
I know.
Depending on what it is. Like this, it's like, I could feasibly do it and yeah. it might look okay.
Yeah.
But then even like, how loose or tight is the tuck
right.
and all that?
Yeah.
I really fret over.
Yeah, the other thing you can do to have a little fun, but this is where it gets experimental and there's some trial and error, is to play with accessorizing. You know, adding like a strap bag across your shoulder,
oh.
adding maybe a necklace, dare I say, or like a bracelet that's made of leather or something.
What if I became a bracelet?
I mean,
guy?
People will make fun of you, so you gotta either push through, embrace it, or just be like, you know what? It's not working.
Or just walk into the ocean and be like, you're right.
You're right. But that can take, you know, your kind of base layer outfit and add a little bit more differentiation each day.
Okay. I like where we're going with
think
this.
On it. Yeah.
A little hat. More textures.
A little baseball hat.
Even that was a huge stretch. That movie pass hat that Demi got me.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah?
What if I started wearing this?
Yeah, I never see you in a baseball hat.
I was wearing a good amount the last couple of months.
Very
I just
cool.
haven't because it's been warmer.
Yeah, yeah. There
recently.
You go. That's a good summer accessory
yeah.
outfit level upper.
Pay so much. Isn't that so funny? Pay so much for clothes so small. Was this shirt made for me or my doll? Okay.
I can't tell.
It's so freaking skimpy. Is this all I get? I look so hot, but I caught a cold. Which is, you know, that's actually a pretty solid lyric.
It's a solid lyric.
As a metaphor and what you're trying
good.
To convey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, let's ask why don't we wear what they say. Don't want to be a model. They can't eat anyway. Oh, this is tough. that kind of attention will fade with the day. So I'll stand up and say, clothes that fit are fine. Won't show what's mine. Won't show what's mine. Is that titties? Is that what they're saying?
Maybe. Perhaps. Maybe a little cheeky collarbone.
Don't change my mind. I'll be fine. I do like the, hey, it's fine. Like, it almost it's doesn't fine. Exist in yeah. a moral black and white space.
Yeah, they don't really hide local. It that much. And mm-mm. I like that they say, it's mine. You know, like, my body is mine. Not like, not, it's my future husband's.
It's Christ.
Right, yeah.
Christ and my future husband. Anything else? Anything to say? The only thing I found on on YouTube, Caroline, was there's a handful of young women, of girls making their own little fan videos from
cool.
like the aughts era.
She's wearing like a strapless dress.
And they're doing like little lip syncs to it, nice. Which I thought was kind of
this is like a skit. Mm-hmm. Love it. Acting.
Yeah, this makes me want to get more into the YouTube space. Oh, gracious. Well, man, anything else to say about this song before we rate it?
I don't think so.
Do you want to hear any fashion advice for me?
I would love it. What do you think I should be doing?
More leather.
More leather.
More.
I hate wearing leather.
Like double the hats. Do you have to, when do you have to wear leather?
I think a leather jacket looks really cool, but I get so sweaty in them.
Sure.
Yeah. Ooh, you could pull off a leather jacket. That's a really good, like,
do you think I could?
Americana. Yeah. Especially like a leather, now that you have the beard.
Like a leather blazer?
No.
From like
Seinfeld
a,
on
like
it.
A turn of the century. Yeah, like Melrose Place situation.
You know what I think of is that like movie premiere Instagram account that just shows all your premiere photos. There was a time where all people wore, men and women, was a big leather blazer.
It's like 99.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Moment.
Like when Brad Pitt peak hotness yeah. in Fight Club, his wardrobe was that leather red jacket, I want to say. Do you remember that from the movie, from Fight Club?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can work it. You can make it look good. But yeah, get a little leather moto jacket.
Caroline
see how
and
that
I may
feels.
Have some online
on
browsing
size.
To do after
yeah,
this
we got
to
shop. We got to add to cart.
Gracious. Okay, well, we're gonna take this song and we're gonna give it a holy toast. Oh, they were really quiet. Maybe they don't want to give it a toast. Mm. Or holy rose. Or we're gonna put in purgatory. So what do we think? Like it's mixed.
I know.
And I do not like the sound of this song.
The sound.
This is not what I gravitate towards.
Yeah, it's not my thing. I can have an appreciation for it. The part that I like in the song is at the end when they kind of speed it up and they mm-hmm. get a little ska on it.
Wait, you liked it when they got ska? This is what you like?
Yeah, this got me pumped.
To dress however
you like ska. I don't know. I don't want a song that promotes modesty, but I do want a song that tells you to wear whatever you feel comfortable in.
Yeah.
And to not bend to the iron fist of the fashion world.
Yeah. The Hitler
world. Yeah, exactly.
Nobody ready.
So I think I'll put it in a purgatory. I think this is a perfect purgatory song.
I think it's a perfect purgatory song too, because yeah. You so insightfully broke down how it is actually, especially from a young woman's perspective, giving you a little bit more permission and wiggle room to actually do more of what you want. Mm-hmm. And it is permission, I think. It's a yeah. permission to play around with it in a way that's not trend forward and maybe you related to it at a young age.
Totally.
Maybe if you had heard this song in middle school... The trajectory of your
more
life.
More modestly. I think that's the other part, too, that I think is kind of sweet is, like, the girls that were listening to this song were also of an age where, like, yeah, you do feel, like, kind of weird about your body and how it's coming out. Yeah. And, like, you shouldn't be forced to display it before you're ready, you know? So I'm all for that.
And I agree with you 100% on whatever
Good
you
job,
said.
Good job, Kevin.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Oh, great. Damn. Well, we did it. And now we're floating in the space between. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. And you know, just given my energy tonight, let's dim the freaking lights in here. How fun. And we're not here to promote ourselves or plug our projects, onlyfans.com/KevinT. Porter. We're here to lift them up to the Lord. OnlyFans, where I dress the most modestly out of any of my social posts. For an extra $40 bonus in the DMs, I'll put coats on. Caroline, I toss it to you.
You can lift me up and you can see the chalk art at Caroline's Farts. And I'm going to lift up a movie that I had so much fun watching. It's called Polite Society. It's like part action movie, part buddy comedy, part society thing. It's so fun. It's about
so you put this, in the society thing genre on Letterboxd?
Yeah, society thing. It's about this girl that wants to be a stunt action star and also break up her sister's coming wedding.
Who amongst us couldn't relate?
Right. Very fun. Had a good time. Did you watch it?
I have not watched it yet. No.
It
I have
good
no. The trailer looked really fun.
Yeah, it was delightful.
All right. Polite Society. What's that?
I think it's on Peacock.
I don't know. I'll go outside and ask him.
Nice.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll lift up a little film called Past Lives, a film by Celine Song, her first movie, her directorial debut, and got to be in the right headspace to watch it, I think, because it could catch you on the wrong day and really blow your butt out in terms of the emotional devastation, a term that we all use.
But blown by a movie.
Yeah, what was the last movie that blew your butt out? Just like you walked out of the theater just hobbling.
Like, ow!
Was it Little Mermaid?
Yeah, it was Little Mermaid.
It was the scuttlebutt.
It was the scuttle song. Blew my butt out.
And then you died as a scuttlebutt.
I scuttled everything. I'm going to stop. That's it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a movie that blew your butt out. That's okay.
Oh, Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse blew my damn butt.
See,
out.
I need to go back because my butt was fully intact after that movie. Because,
yeah, did it wrong.
This movie stars Greta Lee in a phenomenal performance. Okay, I'm not gonna get lights camera porter on this too much. Everyone should see it.
I like
the way
her
it unfolds. That I was so viscerally enthralled, and it looks like a quiet little. It's an A24 indie. There were parts in this that made me feel like I was about to throw up.
Whoa.
But in a way that was, you know, truly impressive.
Ooh.
Really impressive movie.
Okay, wow.
So highly recommend it. And, you know, taking place in maybe the greatest city in the world, New York City.
Never been. Is it nice?
Oh, man. You get off at JFK. You take the air train. That'll take you to the A. And then from there, you can go into Brooklyn. Maybe get on the C. Get on the L. Even the G. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. Caroline, thanks for giving me close advice. I am going to be seeking your counsel in the future once
again. You got
again.
This.
Thank you.
You have everything you need inside of you.
And I'm feeling good about this summer, too.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a revelation for us all. And there's nothing left to say except for, okay,
hey,
I love you, Emma.
Amen. Amen.
Now watch this drive. And should we go out with clothes again? Or maybe, you know what? Based on the movie that did so much for Caroline, let's go out on... The prince has been dropping his. We're going to go out on the scuttlebutt. You know when humans dress up nice like that. And we'll see you next week on GCF. Goodbye.
Bye. Pigeons, but those are just urban legends. I know a lot of really fat pigeons. Will you just listen, Sebastian? I got that scuttlebutt. Hurry up. You'll be like, why when I drop that scuttlebutt? Okay, now huddle up, buttercup. From the women who wash all the clothes to the hunter who arrows the bows. The chatter all over the palace is that your Prince Eric is going to propose. What? To somebody nobody knows. They're saying he suddenly chose. Who? He sounds like an owl. Ow, bet it's the kid with the new set of toes. That was a HeadGum Podcast.